in some circles, Jess is a bit of a Perth celebrity. It's true. And Jess is known in part because of her efficiency in what she does, but also her integrity. And in terms of West City, Jess is a new member, and one of the things that I love about Jess and Jess's heart is, as she felt this call to come and join us where she was previously, she honoured her pastors, told them what was going on for her, thanked them for her time there, how they fed into her life, and did it with such integrity, which speaks to who you are, Jess. So Jess actually heads up one of our home churches. West City is a community. Yes, we meet here around the table each week, but we also meet in one another's lounge rooms during the week to do the business of accountability and opening up the scriptures and digging down. So if you're looking to go deeper in your Christian walk, if you're looking to go deeper in seeking what it is to follow Jesus, if you're needing accountability around issues of whether it be gossip or what you do with your money or how you treat others or who you are in the workplace versus who you are in private, we'd encourage you to find a little group that you can connect to and go deeper. But Jess, as a way of starting, we have this beautiful photo which is coming up now of this very sweet by Ken. Doesn't he have beautiful eyes? Look at Ken. But as we move from those eyes that are very transfixing, and we go to the little shot of just one more, Reza. One more. There we go. Jess, where's this?
Church that I got baptized in, because my mum's from Mauritius, but she's actually from a little tinier island called Rodrigues, and it's in
so
the midst.
For those of us who are geographically challenged, you've got South Africa, Mozambique,
down 8 hours from Perth is the easiest way that I explain it.
Nice.
8 hours from Perth, straight across this tiny little island called Mauritius, and an even smaller island called Rodrigues.
So it's kind of near Madagascar.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
lions talk.
Exactly.
That's what I learned
and
from
the movie,
TV.
That's how I referenced yep. Mauritius for ages. It's like, it's near Madagascar. And everyone knew where I was talking about. So this tiny little island called Rodrigues, and that's where I got baptized in this church Mary. Mm. Mary's church. And my mum's from that island. Mm. So, yeah.
And
yeah.
we want to honour that journey. And part of what we're doing this month is let the redeemed tell of their stories. And we're talking about how there is a power in telling our own stories. There is a power at actually remembering what God has done. That the ancient Jews and the rabbis still quote in the Mishnah that we are to make the Exodus journey our own as if we ourselves walked out of Egypt. So our prayer today is that as Jess shares her story, that you will actually hear of God's active power to transform our lives. Those of us who were here earlier this morning know that God's already been at work. If we go back one slide, Jess is going to share a passage of Scripture. How this connects to some of the stuff that happened this morning is two friends who were here this morning, one for the first time. One came up and said, I had a dream last night that there are going to be baptisms. So I'm not sure what Jess is going to share, but next week, if you have never said yes to Jesus in the waters of baptism, for the early Christians, this is where their journey started, not with merely saying a prayer or raising a hand or going to the front after an altar call. God can honour all that. But for the early Christians, it starts with dying to our old self, to sin, to the old world, and raising with Christ. If you've never said yes to that, this morning we want to give you that opportunity. Now, that was amazing in itself, and that was a word that Reza had that came to him in a dream, but there's another friend who's here this morning who's in church for the first time this morning, who's here because he had a dream last night that his grandmother, who is a Muslim, came to him in his dream and said, you need to go to church. Why aren't you going to church? And you need to listen to Jesus. So for that person who's here this morning, you're in the right place. And we pray this morning that you can hear God's heart, that you'll see that God is fully revealed in Jesus. What God is like, you get in Jesus. So our prayer this morning, as we start, is that all of us, in hearing Jess's story, in hearing this passage which Jess has chosen, that we will be able to build that kind of expectancy, that kind of trust, that kind of faith, and that kind of imagination that would let us surrender a little bit more today. That baptism would become a way that we live our life. So I'm going to pray, And then we're going to read this passage of scripture that Jess has chosen. And then we're going to talk about some other photos. Let's pray together. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Lord, as Rob talked about this morning, there's a number of us who are very aware of your presence here with us this morning. We thank you for the way that you're speaking and moving in this place. And we ask that in the same way that we have friends that you're giving dreams and visions, that you would open up our imagination this morning, our hearts, that all of that which your blood cleanses and transforms, that we would have the courage to bring it out of the dark into the light. Lord, we pray for those things in our lives that don't look like the beauty of your new world that we see in Jesus. Lord, would you bring them to the surface in such ways that we can trust you with them and see them transform? We thank you for your servant, Jess. We ask that the words on her lips and the meditation of our heart, we pray in this short 20 minutes that we have now, that it would be pleasing to you and that you would use us to draw us into your heart as we come round your table. We pray this in your mighty name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Now, this is the cutest photo ever. That we should read this scripture first, though.
Yeah, we should read this
scripture. Do you want to read this one?
I'll read it.
You want to read it?
I'll read it.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a painting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew and the ruined cities that have devastated for generations.
Amen. Jess, why is this important to you?
For me, when I first got to know who Jesus was.
Should we go to that photo?
We can go to that photo.
Can we go to the next photo? There's little Jess! Is that not the cutest photo ever? My goodness, how old are you there?
I'm 8 there at our Holy Communion. So so I was raised a Catholic. Mm. And I remember because, you know, in being raised a Catholic, you can't have communion until you do your Holy Communion. So Holy Communion is a really big
day.
It's
a deal. You get a dress.
You get a dress.
I mean, not me.
No, and yeah. Then the boys wear their white suits. And I grew up in an Italian Catholic community. So it was a really important deal. You know, you had to order your cake weeks before. There was a special dress shop that you went to that sold everything that you bought your dress from. But really, at that time, being raised a Catholic and going to school, like having religious education at a Catholic school, you know about Jesus or who God is, but being part of that church, being able to partake in that Catholic tradition of communion, the way they do it at 8 and the rituals they have around that was really important because I felt like I was getting in on something special, right? Because you see everyone else take communion, but you can't. So that was really important to me. And even growing up, you know, at a Catholic school and the importance of prayer and going to church and, you know, it was really special because as a child, we were allocated different weeks that we were given a turn to choose a song and to set up the candles in our classroom and also choose what we're going to pray about that day as well. So that was really important and those special moments because they were trying to, you know, help us as children connect to the heart of Jesus in the best way that they knew. And even though you don't think much of it at the time, looking back, you can see all these connections about how Jesus wanted to know me and wanted to have that relationship with him. So that was a really special time.
And our prayer is that as the kids are in here this morning, that literally you're sitting next to little ones who this is their formation. This is them, actually. This is the memories that they'll have maybe in years to come when they're up here, and they're talking about what are the things that you looked back on that made you aware of that God was present. These are the kind of stories of watching other people and their sincerity and their messiness and come around the table and actually enter into what this means. And you were sharing, Jess, that this age in particular, you're aware that God was there.
Yeah, yeah. And my mum used to go to this church because I grew up in Sydney a lot, in the city of Sydney. And we'd go in that church and she'd pray. It was St. Julian's Church and it's right in the heart of George Street. And even feeling the stillness in the holy places. And, you know, even going to church as a child and knowing that there was something that was bigger than you, you know. But also there was, you know, Jesus and the way that he walked alongside people was something really special as well.
And this might be a surprise for some, because those that do know Jess might know Pentecostal Jess. Jess of prophecies and words kind of Jess. So I think it's beautiful the way that you're honouring the Catholic formation and how your awareness of Jesus was there. But your story moves on. This next photo, how old are you here?
I think we're 17.
Okay, and there's a friend in this photo that's worth embarrassing because she's actually in the room.
It's Sully, right in the third row.
If everybody would just point to Sully, just kidding. Welcome, Sully. And Sully, you're visiting from Sydney. Well, welcome to West City. Yeah. Great to have you with us.
Yeah.
If at 8 you were aware of God's presence, what happened at 17 that changed? Because as you expressed it when we caught up in the week, believe in God at that age, but the biblical sense of belief is actually trust.
Yeah.
What happened around this stage that created a hunger for you?
Yeah, and I think for me, a lot had happened between the ages of 8 and 17. Of course, that you know things do happen. but there was, I guess, in my own life, a lot of things that happened, a lot of broken relationships and pressures to fit in and be the best person. And a whole bunch of stuff around that. And my brother actually invited me to this youth group that he was going to. And I was like, oh, that's weird. But I went along to the youth group with him. And I honestly cannot even remember. It was somewhere in worship because they had drums and you don't have drums in a Catholic church and guitars and stuff like that. And so we're at this youth group and I remember pouring my eyes out. Like I started crying, you know, and I was like, this is strange, but there was something that I really connected with in that presence and what they talked about. And I remember speaking to one of the youth group leaders afterwards, and there was always, I guess, that hunger to know that there was something more, you know, and something that could comfort me in my brokenness. And I wasn't too sure what that was, whether it was God, but there was that sense that there was something bigger than me.
So it went from an abstract sense of God is there.
Yeah.
To a very personal sense of like need.
Yeah. And actual need. Yeah.
And acting on that. What did you get of the gospel when you first heard it, whether it was in Rodriguez or whether it was in Sydney at 8 years old taking Holy Communion? And what did you get at this stage that was different?
Yeah. I think when I was younger, I always saw or did see Jesus as a friend. Someone who I could call upon, hang out with when I was by myself, or, you know, like, you know, pray. Someone who was very much alongside me. And that feeling would come and go, but that's how I saw Jesus as. And this is someone who, when I was that age, and I remember being that age, someone who was a friend, but someone who would actually heal me, and someone who had, you know, I guess, someone who wanted me to surrender all those things I was carrying at that age.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of that.
And hence, heal the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
And why that's so important to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. As we go to this next photo, Jess, how old are you here?
I'm 19.
And you're the one with the hair?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. It's good.
I think that was on my birthday because I'd moved from that point from Sydney to Perth and was studying at journalism at Curtin University. And I had only been in Perth for probably around 6 months, and there was this woman that I had met in my journalism class, and she was talking to me about this church that she had gone to on campus. And the last time I went to church would have probably been around 17, so it would have been a few years. And I was like, oh, really? Meets at university, like, you know, at campus. She's like, yeah. And I'm like, can I come with you sometime? You know?
Which I need to say, like, for anybody with a heart of evangelism, that's a dream situation, right? It's like, you just pray and show up and somebody says, can I come with you? Yes.
Yeah. And it was a few weeks later, they went to church with her. And again, it was in worship. You know, they had that Hillsong song, Hosanna in the Highest, was playing. And they had this guest speaker. And again, I was like sobbing, crying. And I don't even remember what she was talking about, but I knew that, you know, in that song, in that worship, that there was, you know, I needed to do this. Like, I need to surrender, you know, my life with Jesus. Like, this is the only way that I can see is for me. And all I remember from that moment is all of this black mascara on her fancy white jacket. And, and that's what I remember from that moment.
So for those who identify this morning with that sense of God is there as a kid, and even that sense of 17 and that need, that there are things in me that need to be healed, what was the step that you made at 19 that changed things for you?
I think for me, I couldn't leave what I knew on the sidelines anymore. Like, it needs to be real in my life. And, I mean, the real practical element of that was finding a community and a church that I could be part of and learning about who Jesus is or was. But also, at the same time, like, I had always had a heart for social justice before I became a Christian. But knowing Jesus made that so much more real. And Jesus is, a radical figure, you know, of love, of vulnerability, and someone who actually really cares.
And just talk to me about that, because you and I spend time in circles where people are passionate about justice, and yet we get asked questions about that. For us, it's a little bit different, that it comes from a different place. That what is it around Jesus' healing justice that is distinct and actually can bring that hope that was personal for you?
I think with social justice, it's very easy to be angry about a lot of things, and we should be angry about things that happen, but it's about how we work that out in our lives, and our response to hopelessness, our response to injustice can't be one of anger. And I think Jesus teaches us, and all throughout scriptures, that our response should be one of love and one of softness, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that comes out.
Totally. And even in the passage that you chose, it's that stuff, beauty for our ashes. Like, it's that oil of joy in the midst of despair. It's that personal healing that comes to us. So the kingdom of God happens here and here, not just out there.
Yeah.
That there's not just outward work, but there's also the personal work stuff. So that was your story, right? And from then, you've just been on fire for Jesus. Nothing's ever changed, and just such a sense of
Pretty much.
Anointing and calling, and nothing's... No?
No.
So it's good. You're like the rest of us. So there's been times when you haven't remembered.
Yeah. And I think for me, it probably happened a year and a half ago. And some people would call it a crisis of faith, but I would like to term it as a shipwreck, because that's exactly what it was. but it was more
which
so...
is a lovely plug for Jonathan Martin's book, Shipwreck. Right. Which anybody else see that it's actually $2 on Kindle at the moment? So if you'd like to support West City's friend Jonathan, we shouldn't do advertising plugs in the sermon space. Back to you, Jess.
But what it really was when I was younger, you know, we go through all these things, you know, relationships, friendship breakdown, all of these things, these situations that we go through. And sometimes we don't deal with it, or we don't ask for help when we should. And we think life is fine and I'm fine and God's fine and I'm going to keep going. But that stuff bubbles to the surface if you don't deal with it, or you're not vulnerable in letting someone deal with it, and that's God, maybe your friends helping you around that in your Christian community. if you have one. And that was very much what happened for me. It was almost like I could step outside of myself and observe all these things that were happening. I was like, oh, I don't like this. Like, this is really ugly. And I decided that I want to go speak to someone. So I went and saw a clinical psychologist, and she also happens to be a Christian. And I thought for me, that was really important for me because I wanted that Christian ministry, but I also wanted to seek help from a mental health professional as well, because that's really important. And she had diagnosed me with post-traumatic stress disorder, and I've been wandering around with this thing for like 16 years with PTSD, and kind of like, you know, yep, I probably have it, but I'm not, it's fine, I'm fine. But through that process, you know, of suffering, but also forgetting and healing and that journey, and remembering that God is always ready to heal us and help us, and also he places us in the lives of people that can speak life into us when it's pretty dark.
Yeah.
You know? And that's okay. Like, it's not, we don't live rosy lives. They're quite messy and they're tough and they're heartbreaking. But we need to remember what God has done in our lives when we're in those places.
Yeah.
Because they're really tough.
Really tough.
You know?
Really tough.
So helping me remember through that was community as well.
And it's the little signs, isn't it, that what otherwise could be prophetic critique that calls us to repentance slowly builds into just a cynicism. The hardening of hearts, the lack of concern for reconciliation with others and just letting things drift. Those things that this table calls us to every week that's so important for us at West City, that we actually be a people who continually come back to our own brokenness, our own confession of that we need healing, that none of us are better than anybody else, that we're all in this together, but that God takes the messiness, which is us, and knits together a community of love. You've mentioned church community as a place to help you remember. What else has been important in your life to help you bring you back to the healing power which is available to us now, but we so often just are happy to drift away from?
I wanted to read out a quote that I forgot to read by Jonathan Martin, who you plugged before, but it's not on here. I don't know if we had it, but that's okay.
You know what? I've got it on my phone.
Okay.
Let me find it.
Let's read that.
On my phone. Maybe as I find the Jono quote, what other things are helpful in terms of bringing us back to remembering?
Yeah. I think friends are really important, really practical. But friends who want to, who are able to just to gather around you, whether that's for a meal or whether you're going to go see a concert together or you want to go to the beach, you know, really practical sort of self-care, that's important, because sometimes you do actually need to spend time with other people. Also as well, a church community is really important. So it could be in the form of a home group or some close friends you have at church or families you know at church are really important, because they're the ones who are going to be with you, you know, on that journey together. So that fellowship. And one verse that has always kind of been on my, you know, in my spirit for this past like year and a half is, do not give up meeting on one another, you know. So I've always got that in the back of my mind, because it's really easy to do when you go through stuff, but you need to continually come and meet with one another.
I've got it as a memory verse in the King James. It sounds much more threatening.
What is it?
Do not forsake the assembly.
Okay.
Here's the quote. Okay.
So the quote from Jonathan Martin, the book is called How to Survive a Shipwreck. When we can't see life from the underside, we can't see people around us for who they really are, nor can we see the world for what it truly is. And like I was saying before, life isn't easy and we do go through a lot of stuff. But when you come out of it, or even when you're going through it, the way that you see the world and the way that you see others is really profound, because you don't go back to being the same.
Yeah.
And your life is richer afterwards because you strip back a lot of stuff. You strip back a lot of, you know, your facades you hold up in front of people, and it's probably the first time where you can start being real with people as well, you know.
Thanks.
And you don't have to go through something catastrophic to see that, but it's about, you know, maybe when you do go through hardship, how can you open up your life more instead of saying, oh, that's great, it's over, it's done with, and get on with it, because that's not what it's like. Yeah.
As Jess was praying for this, she sent me a text feeling that, and the language you used was that this was going to be
cataclysmic,
right?
Yeah.
That this is going to be a cataclysmic change.
Yeah.
That there's going to be a shift in here. And I'm not sure if that's for us as a community or maybe that's for you as an individual, but we're about to gather around the table where Jesus promises to be present. In the same way that in worship we've expected God to show up, Jesus promises that he will show up here. And our invitation this morning is always the same. It's to come and meet Jesus, to bring your brokenness, that none of us don't have this stuff that needs to be transformed. The only thing that qualifies you to come around this table is realizing that none of us are qualified. Nothing discredits you from coming around this table, other than realizing there's nothing that actually credits us. So if you're broken this morning, if you need God's healing power in your life this morning, if there are things in your life this morning that you're like, this needs transformation, we want to welcome you because you're in the right place. So Jess, before we gather around the table, this is your opportunity to prophesy over these people. What is it? What's your heart for this community and what you want them to remember?
Yeah. I think for 2017 that we would love each other deeply, that we would be soft with each other, that we wouldn't be so hard, so quick to be harsh towards people. But with every action, with every word, that we would speak life into others. Because, you know, our world is broken and it is messy, but imagine if we could be those people that would always take that opportunity to speak life into one another, whether it's work, picking your kids up from school, and, yeah, letting that love flow out to others. And also, in another way, you know, being real with each other as well. Not saying that you need to, you know, profess everything that ever happened to you, and you know, but really, you know, be real with it with other people. You know, whether you're hurting, you're upset, you're angry, you don't feel like talking to them, like instead of wearing masks. I think being real goes a long way.
Jess, I want to thank you for your vulnerability. It's inspiring, and trusting us with that as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can we thank Jess?
You. Thank you.
Jess mentioned the importance of a loving community and others who can do the journey with you. That's here this morning. She also mentioned the importance that therapy has played in her life, as in mine, for over 16 years. If we can help connect you with somebody who's a professional to work through stuff while surrounding you with a community that can be supportive, we'd love to do that for you this morning as well. As the worship team comes forward and those who are actually redistributing the Eucharist come forward as well, our invitation is always the same. I'm going to pray as these guys come forward, and throughout the hall and in the overflow as well, there'll be people who are just as broken as you, who will eyeball you, who will offer you the living presence of God and who they are, and into this bread and wine, and invite you to this kind of transformation. So as they get set up, let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Prepare us for the table. Lord, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart, and we haven't loved our neighbor as ourselves. That in thought, in word, and deed, we've fallen short of all the beauty of your love that you have for us in this moment, in every moment that speaks of your coming kingdom. We want to enter into that, Lord. So we ask that you would take who we are, as broken as we are, and you would anoint us with your oil of joy over our despair. that you would exchange our ashes for your beauty, that around this table, that you would build in us a hunger and thirst for your healing justice, for reconciliation, for healing in our own hearts, in our own lives, in our own streets, in your world. Lord, those who you are calling to respond to you, to say yes to you in the waters of baptism, I pray that they would make themselves known to us today. Give them that courage, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. This is a table, not of the church, but of the Lord. It's prepared for all those who love God and those who want to love God more. So come, you who have much faith and you who have only managed to scrape together a little, you who have been here hundreds of times and you who come for the first time, you who have tried to follow Jesus, those of us who have failed in following Jesus, and those who us who today decide for the first time, I want to be a follower of Jesus. Come, because it is the Lord who invites you. And it is God's will that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you might encounter Christ here. So come, all you who are hungry and thirsty. Come and receive from his nail-scarred hands and be fed. Church, we invite you to the table.